Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, July 14th, 7:30 Central Time. We've got Brothers of John the Steadfast. It's our usual Monday guest. Well, actually, our fill-in this morning, Pastor Daniel Hinton, filling in for Pastor Joshua Shear this morning for Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Hinton. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Doing just fine. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Well, how are things going at Brothers of John the Steadfast this week?
Pretty well. I've got an interesting article to kind of highlight. The title is a bit of a mouthful, but it's kind of an interesting play on a phrase from James chapter 2. The title is, "I will show you my evangelism by my word and sacrament ministry." Kind of a mouthful, but the parallel there is then, you know, where James says, "I'll show you my faith by my works." The interesting thing that he's reacting to is kind of a contemporary and especially even American mindset about what evangelism consists of. He notes the distinction between the definition that he finds in Webster's dictionary of the word evangelism, and then the word it's a Greek word oiangelizo, mm-hmm. that he finds in his biblical dictionary, which was the Greek word that we translate to gospel or to evangelize, it's a verb. And within the American context, American evangelicalism has kind of overtaken this concept and this word, and they bring in with them kind of Baptist and sort of Methodist tendencies when it comes to conversion, to justification, to the Christian life. And so the Webster Dictionary, the first one given is, "The winning or revival of personal commitments to Christ." Now, of course, Lutheran's ears will go up at that and say, wait a minute, that sounds somewhat Arminian and perhaps even semi-Pelagian. And it is. The other one is militant or crusading zeal. I don't know what... I'm not really sure how evangelism fits that definition, but the biblical definition is to bring good news, to announce good news, to proclaim good news. This Greek word had a secular usage. When a battle was won, a messenger would go and report back to the city state, to the nation who had sent the army, that the battle was won, and that announcing the good news would be essentially evangelism in that secular sense. Well, so he draws this distinction then between the world's concept of evangelism and the church's concept of evangelism. And as a good confessional Lutheran, Pastor Wellenson, who wrote this, includes the fifth article of the Augsburg Confession, which says this: "To obtain such faith, God instituted the office of preaching, giving the gospel, and the sacraments. Through these, as through means, he gives the Holy Spirit, who produces faith where and when he wills in those who hear the gospel. It teaches that we have a gracious God, not through our merit, but through Christ's merit when we so believe. This is not at all in the least the American conception of evangelism." Because when we think of evangelism, in many cases, we think of these intentional programs that are put together to try to attract people into our churches. Maybe some form of salesmanship that is taught to laymen to be able to go out and bring people in, not necessarily by teaching, by proclaiming to them the gospel, but by some other means, sometimes drawing even from secular salesmanship and business model type programs. And mm-hmm. then, another thing that's often thought of is a kind of a showmanship that happens within the worship setting of the church. And none of those, properly speaking, are evangelism. Evangelism is about the gospel. The word evangel is kind of the Greek word, root of evangelism, and it means gospel. There's no evangelism without the gospel. And mm-hmm. we Lutherans confess that the Holy Spirit is the one who's doing this work, and what he institutes on earth is the institution of the church. Specifically, the office of preaching, that is the giving of the gospel and the sacraments. So it's through this office that the Holy Spirit causes this gospel to be preached in the world. And then the really interesting thing that we confess, especially over against American evangelicalism, is that it is the Holy Spirit who produces faith. If you happen to be in a church that uses the three-year lectionary, mm-hmm. last week's reading for the gospel was the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower is scattering the seed all over the place. But in three of the four places where he scatters it, it ends up not, the seed does not take root and grow and produce fruit. And it's often like this in the world where we can have the best program, we can have, I mean, we can even have the most faithful preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Even a great preacher, even Jesus himself, will preach the gospel, and there will at times be those who will not hear. This is a mystery to us because we like to think that if I'm just a bit more winsome, maybe if I'm just a little more friendly, maybe if, you know, we take some of these kind of foreign elements out of our service that look a little strange to an American's eyes, you know, but are part of the ancient church's history. Maybe if we do those things, then people will believe. Well, that's not the case. The Holy Spirit produces faith when and where he wills in those who hear the gospel. So our job then, and frankly, as a pastor, I find this to be a source of immense relief and comfort. Our job then as pastors, and together our job as the church, is not to make people believe, but rather simply to be faithful in preaching the gospel. And the Holy Spirit will use that preached gospel to produce faith when and where he wills in those who hear it.
Amen. That we're not supposed to invent anything new, or even our old Adam sometimes may even want to make the message more palatable.
Yeah, and whenever those tendencies rise in us, and it does from time to time, go back and read through the Old Testament about, you know, God's commands for worship and what happens when the people of Israel decide to play fast and loose with that. He is a God who cares very much about faithfulness to what he has commanded, and we're commanded to preach the gospel. We're simply not free to change it. But then the good news for us is that if we simply preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit produces faith when and where he wills. This is his work. You know, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, as we confess in Luther's explanation of the third article of the Creed. So, basically, he's setting up this lovely dialectic, this distinction between the world's concept of evangelism. He uses things like winning souls, converting people. You know, those are measurable, which is great if the church is, you know, if we're commanded to run the church like a business where we have numbers and goals and deadlines and bottom lines and things, but we're not called to do any of that. Winning souls and converting people, that's all the job of the Holy Spirit. So, if we're to talk about evangelism, we must, properly speaking, be talking about the gospel and the preaching of it. So, he at the end of this article, he sets up this kind of this parallel with James 2, and he writes, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has evangelism but does not have word and sacrament? Can that evangelism save anyone? If a brother or sister is sinful and unclean, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be saved, and have life,' without giving them the things needed for forgiveness, what good is that? So also, evangelism by itself, if it does not have word and sacrament, is dead."
Hmm.
It's kind of biting, but I think it drives the point home rather well. And that is, if evangelism is about, you know, kitschy programs, if it's about, you know, some kind of whatever the program is to try to get people in that doesn't involve the gospel. And I mean, I'm sure we could regale each other with all kinds of horror stories about what we've seen. But if it's not about the word and sacrament ministry that Christ institutes, if it's not about the office of preaching, giving the gospel and the sacraments, if it's not about the church, it's really not evangelism. Evangelism without the true good news isn't evangelism at all.
It might be acts of service for our neighbor.
Sure.
It might be doing something for our neighbor, but not necessarily evangelism. It's not evangelism without the word.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, thanks, Pastor. Any other articles on Brothers of John the Steadfast that you'd like to point us to today?
There is a short one called "That Warm and Fuzzy Feeling Must Die" by Nathan Redman. He briefly discusses the fickle nature of our emotions. One of the things that I have to tell catechumens, especially when I teach them about like the Lord's Supper, is, you know, when you drink the wine that is Christ's blood, when you eat the bread that is Christ's body, you don't necessarily feel anything. That is to say, it tastes like wine. It tastes like bread. It may not necessarily make this funny feeling inside your body that is mystical and unknowable. The reality of the words of institution, the reality of the words of forgiveness, the reality of the gospel may affect your emotions. It's true. I mean, even Christ our Lord, him, you know, as a man, has emotions. Jesus wept, John writes. But our emotions can be fickle. They can play tricks on us. And if we depend upon them to tell us whether or not something is true or whether or not we've actually received anything substantive, that may lead us to doubt the objective reality of what we've heard and what we've received. And so he's kind of relaying a personal anecdote about this. But in it, he's writing against something we Lutherans call enthusiasm, which just means God within us, that would say that God would speak to us apart from his word. So if then we want to fight against this, if we want to be certain of what we're hearing, know that the reality is not necessarily in what our emotions tell us to be true, but rather in the objective reality of the word that Christ says, this is my body, this is my blood, your sins are forgiven you, etc.
Very good. Well, you can check it out at steadfastlutherans.org. That's steadfastlutherans.org. You can find that and other articles there. Pastor Hinton, thanks so much for being our guest and filling in for Pastor Scheer this week and last week as well.
My pleasure.
God's blessings to you.
And you as well.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our regular Monday conversation with Dr. Weiss. Hope you can stick around for that as well, listeners. All coming up next on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.